All right, good vach. This is Yisachar Wartel, and this is Parshat Tazria, right? Not Tazria Mitzora this week. Again, most of the double parshiot have dissolved into two separate parshiot. It is a leap year this year. And let's see where we are going. So first, before we start today, I want to just once again mention the shiur is sponsored in loving memory of Sarah Bala Bat Menachem Mendel. May her neshama have an aliyah. Now, there's a lot of things to talk about. At the beginning of this week's parsha, we have the woman who gives birth and the different laws around the different types of sacrifices and waiting times that she has, and then it just almost immediately goes into Tzaraz, which is something which is obviously something which is very extensively talked about, but also usually still very poorly understood, and there's a lot of complex halachos about that, and still many things which we don't quite grasp. But there actually are, the sages ask many, many different ways in which they, the first little bit of our parsha, which is Tazria, how that connects to the concept of Tzaraz. It's like, why does it just kind of jump into one and to the other? And, you know, maybe I'll shed some light on that, hopefully. And I'm sure there's many, many other answers as well. Now, this could easily be topic for Tazria and Mitzora, but I'll have a different topic to speak about next week. Now, the first word in this week's parsha that we're dealing with is the word Tazria, the Isha Ki Tizazria, right? She gives, literally gives seed, right? When she has offspring, right? It comes from the root Zera, which literally means seed, Zayin Resh Ayin. Now, the root of Tzaraat, which is what the rest of the parsha is talking about, as well as most of next week's parsha, it, you know, comes to the root Tzadi Resh Ayin. Now, if you may notice, these two roots are actually quite similar. Right, one Zayin Resh Ayin, one Tzadi Resh Ayin, and they even have kind of a similar sound, Zera and Tzera, if you were to pronounce it that way, right? So, it might seem at first that there's a coincidence, but they're actually very much correlated. Now, what's interesting, if you note, the first letter might be different, but the last two letters are exactly the same, which is Resh and Ayin. Now, Resh and Ayin, one thing it can mean evil, Ra. This is not to say that either of these two concepts are evil, but they carry within their meaning their potential for negative indulgence. Zera is seed and can represent sexual nature and consequently immorality. Tzaraat, or tzera, is an affliction that arises from one from speaking slander or lashon hara about another person. And now it's interesting that these two negative indulgences are what in fact caused the temples to be destroyed, at least according to the most common opinions, that the first Beit HaMikdash was destroyed due to immorality and the second Beit HaMikdash was destroyed due to baseless hatred and evil speech. However, just as Resh Ayin can spell Ra, meaning evil, it can also spell Rea, which means a companion. So too, these concepts of Zera and Tzera, or Tzeraz, can yield actually beautiful results. Tzadi Resh Ayin can be rearranged to form Tzar, which means sorrow, but it also can form the word Atzar, Ayin Tzadi Resh, which means to stop or to cease. Now, a person who gets Tzeraz is given a sign that he should refrain from evil speech and treat his fellow man like a Rea, right? Also Resh Ayin, right, like a fellow, a companion, and not do to him Ra, right, to pick the good over the bad, to pick the companionship and friendliness over the Ra, the evil. This affliction makes all those who see him then stop or atzar and contemplate their actions will hopefully yield a more pleasant and friendly world. And if he doesn't learn his lesson, then he will have tzar, who will have sorrow. So it's interesting how these things are all kind of tied together. Now, Zera, Zayin Resh Ayin, especially in our context, referring to children, is the most beautiful of all things. That's the most beautiful thing of all that can be yielded. More than any fruit from a tree or anything like that, more from the offspring of any animal, is the children's of human beings. Now, Zera, Zayin Resh Ayin, can be rearranged to form the word Ezer, right? Ayin Zayin Resh, which means a helper, which is most commonly found in the phrase Ezer Kenegdo, referring to a woman being the helper and counterpart of man. If one uses their seed to bond with their eternal Rea, companion, which in this case would be their spouse, they will continue a legacy through progeny, and their progeny in turn can hopefully bring the world to a better place. Now, interestingly enough, aside from these letters, Resh Ayin, these roots are marked by their initial letters. The first one, Zera, being starting with the letter Zayin, represents the concept of seven or natural cycles, which have some level of physical order to things, which deal with conception and birth, which are seemingly part of the regular natural cycle. Now, put together, it's something natural or intuitive, the ability to unite with one with another person, either for an immoral purpose, which would be Ra, or a beautiful experience with a loving companion, Rea. In contrast, the root Tzaraz is something which is very unnatural. It's not the normal leprosy. It's a weird spiritual disease. which is very difficult to understand. It's a physical manifestation of a spiritual problem that was far more unique and doesn't really exist even at all today. The root however you want to pronounce it, Tzadi Reish Ayin begins the letter Tzadi, which among other things represents humility. A person who speaks against another person needs to learn his or her place. The person must be humbled, and thus the person is placed in an embarrassing state of tzara'az, where they have to be looked at and called tameh and placed outside the camp. And this person can then use it as a lesson to treat people respectfully from now on. Hopefully they'll learn their lesson. Treat people as a re'a. Or they might not learn their lesson and may continue to be ra, continue to be evil. Now, when raising a child, one must realize that the child is a seed planted in this world, and they will continue to grow and hopefully have one day have children of their own and seeds of their own, which will bear amazing fruit. This child's action will affect others positively or negatively. In reality, it'll be both. Now, it's our responsibility as parents to ensure that this child grows into a rea and not a ra, somebody who is seen by all of his fellows as a companion, someone who is friendly to others, someone who demonstrates respect, and not someone who slanders people and acts like a metzora. It's very easy to slip into this concept of maligning others, especially in today's day and age where we're so quick to blame other people, to point fingers at everybody but ourselves, and say, oh, so-and-so did that, so-and-so did that, whether it be true or not. Right, whether it's like actually what somebody did or what not, that's not the point. The point is, I mean, yes, there are legitimate gripes, and there are times that we need to inform, especially if somebody does something to hurt somebody. But if it's slander for the sake of slander, just to tell somebody something to make ourselves feel better, to pump ourselves up, whatever it might be, but putting someone down, then that's ra, that's ultimate evil, right? You're putting the tzadi first. Now, tzadi, even though it can mean humility, can also mean righteousness, and in this case it can mean self-righteousness. If a person thinks that he is or she is all that they are better than everybody, then they're going to have no problem putting other people down, right? And therefore, that reish ayin is definitely ra. But somebody who can be a tzaddik, right, and actually is truly righteous, will always see the good in people and see the ability to even people who are not good people, they can still be friendly and cordial to them and treat them with respect because they're all b'tzelem elokim. And that's true even if they're non-Jews, right? They're all b'tzelem elokim. They're all made in the image of God. And especially our fellow Jews, our fellow brethren and sisters, we're all cut from the same cloth. We're all, you know, tied together as one Am, one nation, one kahila. And we have no right to speak ill of each other. And it's very important to instill upon our children when we're raising them, especially if they're at a young, impressionable age, and lead by example, not just like, you got to do this, you got to do that. You have to lead by example. We have to be careful with our speech. We have to be careful to treat other people without any ra and treat them like a rea, like a companion. Be friendly to others. Show respect always to people as much as possible. None of us are perfect, but if the vast majority of the time we keep this in mind and we treat people with respect, then hopefully our children will learn the lesson and it will bear fruit and yield great blessing into the world. Shabbat Shalom.